Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody today?
Great.
All right. Hey, everybody paying attention? Everybody ready to learn new stuff? More stuff? Refresh stuff that you already know? Hey, those are two different things, aren't they? So we've been going over finances and how this applies to us and really how it affects us as Christians and how we're going to affect the world by the way that we handle ourselves. You know, if you turn to 1 Timothy with me this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Lately, we've been talking about budget, right? Is that where we ended off last time? We were talking about how we're going to go about doing some of these things. Because honestly, if you've never had one or written one out, then you could be kind of lost if no one's ever shown you. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to read verses 7 and 8. But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Hey, dealing with money takes discipline. Discipline isn't always easy to inflict on yourself, is it? Sometimes it's a little easier for someone else to come to us and say, this is what you need to do, and we like to follow that. But what happens when we have a choice and we don't have really someone to follow at that point? Like, okay, we have our own budgets, right? We can't figure out exactly how we're going to do something according to the way somebody else does something. Because it has to be able to work for us. So the discipline part becomes hard because in our current society, people feel hopeless, don't they? You get a sense of hopelessness. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Get there. Okay, maybe it's Proverbs 30. I know I looked this up wrong. I thought when I wrote 31 down, it seemed a little odd. No. Well, it has to do with hope. Okay, so it's Psalms. I apologize. I need to double check myself here. So Psalms, chapter 31, beginning in verse 23. O love the Lord, all his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Really, our hope has to come in the Lord, doesn't it? So, to be disciplined, we also have to have goals, right? You have to be able to set something. Anybody who has a goal and doesn't write it down and figure out where they're at is going to have a really hard time accomplishing that. Because if you have something that you're having to struggle through and having to set down, guess what? You need to have it in front of you. You need to look at it. I've heard different speeches from different people, motivational things. It's like, you know what I do? I look at it before I go to bed and I look at it when I get up. Because it sets me on what my purpose is. Now our purpose is a little different than other just accomplishing things of this world, right? There.
And that principle came from God. He says, you know, we got to look at the mirror daily, which is the scriptures. We got to be putting that into our mind. Or what happens? We forget who we are. And so, yeah, I mean, if it's the same thing with spiritual things, it should be the same thing with physical things. We need to look at that budget daily. Am I on track? Or what happens? We fool ourselves. That's the whole reason we look at the scriptures every day. We'll fool ourselves. I'm a good guy, you know, but no, good is defined by God. I'm on budget. Well, no, let's look down and see. Am I really on budget? The mind is a crazy thing.
Yeah, we will get ourselves out of things. We'll give ourselves a way out. And if you've ever been on a budget, and I think I may have mentioned this last time, guess what? Sometimes you're going to fail at it. Like, I really don't want to hear that. I don't want to start something failing at it. You know what? If every time Nikki had a bad run and she said that, I don't want to do this, what's their hope? Your hope is that you're going to accomplish something else, right? So after you set that in your mind, what keeps you coming back to doing it? And the reason why I bring up writing things down and having goals, because it has to be a part of it. If this isn't a part of our goal, of our overall big picture of Christianity, then how are we going to present this to the world? Because really, they don't have hope. Their hope has to be deeper than that, and that purpose has to be the driving factor behind that. So, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I know I'm kind of going back over a few points that I have, but I just kind of wanted to open up with some of this. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Let me ask you a question. You take someone through proof, the Bible is the Word of God, and you show them what God requires for salvation, right? That's something that they have to see. It's something that we have to take them through in order to prove it. But sometimes, why I brought up this verse is about trusting in the Lord, because do we actually trust in the Lord fully? Because if you're saying that you don't trust with Him fully by saying, well, Romans 13 says, owe nothing to no one, right? But love. It's pretty straightforward to me. Owe nothing to no one. You know what? There's always going to be consequences for debt. But our trust in the Lord is that when we give our tithe and it comes off of our gross, do we trust in the Lord? We trusted Him to rescue us from the depths of hell, right? But does that same logic follow through in our tithing? Because you'd be saying that, well, I only trust Him partially. I trust He can save me, but hell, I don't trust He can help me with my finances. Even though the Lord tells me that those who are faithful, He takes care of, doesn't He?
Yeah, I think, you know, you jump down to verse 9 here, and basically that's what God's saying, put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah. And it's not easy to do. It always isn't. I mean, in the society we live in.
Mike. One of the great fruits of discipline is freedom. And you take a look at it in a spiritual sense. We discipline ourselves to to look into the spiritual realm, we get freedom from sin and slavery in our finances. If we are disciplined in our finances, we get the freedom that goes along with it. So that is one of the fruits that sometimes it may seem counterintuitive, but it's actually what that discipline produces, is that freedom as a fruit of it.
Right. I can tell you what, even from a time as young, I've always enjoyed freedom. And it carries over to all areas, really, in our life. I think anybody were to say that they do. I mean, hey, you stay on something, you work for it, you enjoy the fruits of that. What are our ultimate fruits? Be able to seek and save the lost, really. We have a bigger picture in mind than just being debt-free. Right? Just so we can spend our money frivolously on what we want, right? I mean, hey. Now, we have to be careful, because like I said before, with debt, there always is consequences. There is some debt that you're going to take a chance on. So if you have debt that pays for itself, say you own something and that payment that, say, the renters who rent that pay for themselves, you're in a pretty good position. What happens when no one's there? There's still a chance. So I think we need to be shrewd in those aspects and be able to be logical.
One of the worst debt you can have is what's called unsecured debt. But that is what most people are nailed. That's credit card debt. And that is just brutal. So, because basically you got nothing.
Yeah, you don't. And it's easy to put things on a card and not think about it. And that's why some of the things that I'm going to go over, I decided to bring up a spreadsheet and try to have the audience go through it and see how it works. Maybe it's just a simple one that I made, but it's really easy to be able to keep track of things. How do we split it out? How do we keep track of things? Part of it's going to be a discipline of keeping up on it, really. Just like you form a disciplined habit of reading your Bible. It all becomes part of your routine, which all drives to a point. So the computer went dead here. It's working awfully slow. For those of you listening online, technical difficulties, getting the computer up and running. But it's going. Okay, so let me see if I can. Can everybody see that? Is it hard to read? Kill the front lights might help. Those are back there. Yeah. There we go. A little better? Okay. So, how do we keep things written down? Some people are like, well, I don't really want to do the math. Sometimes it's good to be able to set up and do the math by pencil, because then you can see where you messed up. But in this spreadsheet that I have set up, I have certain things. So there's three spots in here for your gross income, right? Three times a month. Sometimes people get paid three times a month. But we're going to set this up to be able to, let's see, $2,000 a paycheck. That's pretty good, right? If you're getting $4,000 a month. So we'll put that in for our gross. How much in taxes do you think is going to be taken out of 2,000? Anybody have an idea? Give me a number. Third. Let's say that again.
$650.
Okay. What's that number? Do somebody do that math in there real quick? $1,350. Whoa. I'm not used to not having a mouse. Oh my goodness. I look like a beginner here. Something is definitely this is C3. Oops. Sorry, guys. There we go. I know. So if you can set something up like this, there's a lot of tools out there, really. There's a lot of tools you can use to even balance your checkbook. There's Microsoft Money. You have, what's the other one? QuickBooks. You can automatically download your statements into these things, and you can what's called a reconcile. So you go through, and it shows you you're off a little bit. So it makes it easier. Now, you should know how to do it manually, really. Because if we didn't have those things, you'd have to know how to do it manually, like I learned a long time ago. But I do like these tools that are at hand to be able to use because they make it quicker. So by putting in the net income, it automatically takes from my gross. $200, right? 10%, right off the top. And what that does is just multiplies it from that cell. You can set up these pretty easily. Savings. If you look at the bottom here, I have a breakdown of savings. Sometimes people, this has to be adjusted because sometimes we may not be able to make as much, put as much in there as we want, right? We should have a set amount, really. But what if you're saving for something else? The reason why I have another tab for savings is to have a breakdown of that. Because you can throw all your money in savings and not worry about it, but do you know how much is specified for a certain thing? Say we're going to save to have a family go on vacation, right? Well, do we know how much we have set towards that and how much we have set towards our car repairs? How's that going to break out? Keeping track of it. It makes it easier for us. Anybody have any questions so far? It's kind of odd. Okay, we'll go to this one next. Mortgage. Most people with a house these days, if they have a house, unless you have purchased it over 15 years ago, you're probably going to be over $1,000 a month for a payment. If you're on a 30-year loan, I would suggest trying to get to a point where you're not on a 30-year loan if you ever do a house, because what happens in the loans of these houses is people say, I'm going to do a 30-year loan and I'll pay extra on it. Never happens. It won't. You know what percent of people actually do that? 2% people actually do that. I'll set up a 30-year loan and I'll just make extra payments on it. Just so I can have a buffer when I can. Right? 2%. That's not a very high percentage, really, of if you're going to set it up that way. And if you look at the amount of interest you're actually paying out over that, you're actually better to set up a 15-year loan. Now this becomes hard because I have a family, I have a certain size family, I need a certain amount of rooms, right?
I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard from a banker, so I believe it is that if you get a 30-year loan, but you just pay basically one extra monthly payment a year, you drop from a 30-year loan to like a 22-and-a-half-year loan. That's basically one extra payment a year. It is so small, and it makes a massive difference.
Right. Now, if we strapped ourselves, yeah, go ahead.
Since Larry brought that up, anybody that is paying for a biweekly program, just pay the extra payment that he's saying about and don't pay the other company to do it for you.
Yeah, you're always going to be paying for other services, aren't you? Yeah. So let's say we have $2,000 there, but notice we have over a month, right? So this might be easier to look at as a lump sum. So we'll put in our mortgage. Say we have, what, $500. Because you're going to have more. You're not going to be able to make that all out of one check. Unless you make good money, then you might be able to. I don't make that good of money. Sorry. What about if you had a car loan right here? If you had money down and you really didn't have a lot, I'd advise not having a car loan. But some things just happen. It's where we're at, right? And we got to work from where we're at and be honest. We can't just say, I'm not going to have a car loan. Well, sometimes we find out about these things and these goals later on, and we have to adjust to them and work back to get to where we want to be, right? So, what, $180, $200 if you had a small loan for a car? You can't see at the bottom here. Let me get down here. See how much you have left? It's going to keep subtracting it for you. What if you had some things come up that month you needed to put in there? What do you have in for entertainment? 75 from this paycheck, 75 from another. What about fuel? Some people live further out, don't they? How much does fuel run? 150 a month? So we need to put this in. I realize this can be kind of boring, but I want to be able, you guys to be able to see it up front if you've never seen something like this. What are we at for our total? We have 320, right? What about groceries? Food. So if we're sticking to a $400 a month budget, it's pretty thin, really. So there's 200 right there. Where'd we go to? We have $120 left, right? Let's just write all these out. We haven't had to pay for utilities. Usually gas and electric, at least for our four, it will run us about $120 a month altogether, the gas and the electric. Water. Water. Okay. So there's 60 out of there. This is something I have. I don't know if any of you have it, but I have medical that costs us every month. You might not be there yet. This is something that I pretty much need, though. Costs us about $150 just for medical. The rest of my family is awesome. They don't ever need to go to the doctor. Where are we at? We're already, see how it got into the red? That means we're already over $15. So what do we have to do? We're like, okay, time to start trimming some fat, right? Did we even put any money for clothing? You know, it's not getting any cheaper to buy clothing. Is it? You have kids, they're going to be growing every time. I would advise being trying to find places where, hey, you have good clothes that are already used. Nice clothes that are already used. And if those grandparents want to buy new clothes, that's fine. Have we put any money into savings yet? No. So really, basing off of $4,000 a month, see how fast it goes? So we're already in a $15 deficit and we haven't put any money in savings. One, you tithe. That should be the first thing you should do always. If you're not gonna do that first, you're always gonna be working off of something, off of trying to work it in there. Well, I gotta be able to tithe. Take it off the top and it doesn't matter. Then you know what you have to work with. Because what you really got to work with is after that tithe is taken away. What about savings? Sometimes this gets very difficult to do, doesn't it, on a tight budget. Do we have a set aside? I know that during the year I work things like this. We have a certain amount that we'll spend on each other, family members, for Christmas. Give them gifts. I like to give gifts. I like to give in. Yeah, I don't care if it's Christmas. I just like to give gifts to people. I think it's fun. So, if I know how much I'm going to set out a budget to how much I'm going to spend on somebody, and I take that out over the whole year, and I divide that out over 12 months, it gives me a good idea of how much I need to be setting aside, right? Because what happens around Christmas time? The credit cards come out, don't they? Someone said once you should freeze your assets, and they said, well, you should just put your credit card in a block of ice in your freezer. You know, I tried that once. It's pretty easy to run hot water on it for a couple minutes. The method behind that, what they're trying to get at, is that people decide they think they want something and they go away for a minute and they come back and they think about it. They're like, yeah, do I really need that? Or do we end up purchasing it and getting what? Buyer's remorse. Doesn't it stink like to go on a vacation or get a chance to go somewhere with your family and come back? You're like, oh, now I got all this to pay for. What? But when you don't, and you come back, you're like, that was great. Hey, you saved for it. You got to go. Guess what? You don't have this headache of trying to put in a couple hours of overtime trying to make up for it, right?
Yeah, and the remorse always happens a week or so later. You know, we went and, but a good example of how easy it is to get out of whack with your budget is we went to Texas Roadhouse, and, you know, thankfully Karen had earned lots of gift certificates there. Family of five. Our meal was $100. I think it was a little over, actually. And just checking with Nolan, only three of that was food. The other $70 was just atmosphere. So, I mean, you do that a couple weekends and that budget's toast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty easy to go through your entertainment money.
Oh, yeah.
Really easy. So how do you actually get to figure out this is where I'm starting at being able to try to keep track of things. You can keep track by hand, you can keep track by computer, but do you see a pattern? This is where I have this tab for down here, which is your yearly totals, which is going to take all these totals that you have right here, all these totals, and you're going to get to see where you spent. Because when you first start out, like, you don't quite know how to adjust it to make it balance yet, do you? You're kind of like, ride that line. Well, it's kind of got to be adjustable for you, really. Because even if you've saved for things, what were some of the steps that I went over last week? Anybody remember some of them? What was one of the first ones? You guys are out. You weren't here. One of the first steps basically getting out of debt. And these are principles that are put forth by Dave Ramsey. They do work, and that's the only reason why. What do you got, Tyler?
I think one of the steps was to pay the lowest credit card off first.
Right. That would be rest. That's correct.
Yeah.
That would be involved in the second step.
Oh, well, okay.
Okay.
Well, I know.
There's a step before that. Anybody know what I'm getting at? You do. You do have to know what you have first. Remember talking about things are going to happen as you're trying to get this stuff going? What do you got, Todd?
You're supposed to set up an emergency fund as soon as possible.
Right.
I think.
$1,000 minimum, really. And that's really for actually probably a single person. Be able to, as fast as you can, get that money set aside because things are going to happen. Right? We talked about that. Oh, car needs rotors again. Like, if you don't have nice people like Dave to help you out, guess what? you're gonna be pulling that into, well, Mike's shop isn't here anymore. You're gonna be pulling that into a brother's garage to help you work on it. You're gonna be taking it to a mechanic. You know what they charge? Like, minimum, like, $80 an hour? $95. Dave probably knows more about that than I do.
Yeah, most labor rates are around 88. Between 80 and 95 an hour. Plus, then you got the parts, which also have a minimum of 40% markup. You know, and that's a nice thing. Like with me, I've got discounts at most all the auto parts stores.
It's good to have brothers with connections, huh? This is why it's easier for us to work together as a team, really. This doesn't only work in the financial as we work together as a team. This works together with us. This carries over to us spiritually to be able to work together. Hey, someone has a little bit more knowledge and has a little bit more help. Why don't we contact that person? One, it's a lot of times, sometimes things get away, especially with guys, it's called pride. Maybe you don't want to ask because you might feel like that someone might think that you're not doing a very good job because you're asking. Really, those attitudes should be gone within the body of Christ. They should. On the other hand, we shouldn't always rely on other people either. Because then we get a handout mentality, thinking that, oh, they'll always bail me out. And then it doesn't, then what are you going to do? So, anyways, moving on. So, if I copied this to each one, I should have. Is there a mouse that goes with these? That is not going to do it. We're not doing too bad here, except for we haven't put anything for clothing, right? This is one thing. One thing that I find out is, as I more and more, especially as I have kids, is like we don't really plan. Like I need a new pair of shoes, right? Because we wait till ours are blown out. Well, what do we set aside for clothing? Most of the time, our coats last a long time. Most of the time, our jeans. But the things that we use all the time wear out. Or your kids just keep on growing, right? So you either try to sell those clothes or give them to other people in the body of Christ so that they can use them. So our clothing, I can tell you I have it. There's, I can tell you that I would be the spender in our family. I just be honest. Jennifer is great. I have to force her to buy things. Come on. Don't like it. I apologize, guys. I'm kind of clunky. Problem with my clipboard. Yeah, it's because the formulas won't. See, in each one of these, there's actually a formula. I can do this when I have a mouse. I'm used to my clicking. All right. Well, we'll just go to here. Yeah, but there. For some reason it won't get off of the my copied cell. Still, it's highlighted. Let's see if we can do this again, huh? I will win. Wow. So basically you're going to see that we're going to be 65 over budget, and we haven't, and we've brought in $6,000 that month, right? It won't highlight the cells anymore. Yeah, it should, but it's not. That's why I was, because I can't. It won't let me highlight the cells anymore. Okay. I'm going to stop there because I'm sure you guys are getting tired of me messing with this. Keep laughing. Next time I can bring a mouse. So, being able to set these things up, is it going to take some work? Yeah, it is. One, it's going to take us learning, either learning something that we're going to be able to use as a tool or sitting down as an old-fashioned pad and paper and keeping track of it. Only reason I don't like doing that anymore is because you got to file it somewhere. If you're going to look over, that kind of gets to be a pain, honestly. But you better have something where you can keep it on a flash drive where you can access it. So, who knows how to use Excel in here? I know Larry does. I know he does. I know Amy does. I know Mike does. Matthew. I think this is a tool that should be instituted with any kid that comes out of high school. They should be able to use Excel because it's you can use it for multiple things.
And I know how to use Excel, but you spend, $45-50, you can buy Quicken, and it'll last you 2 or 3 years. Automatically connects to your bank account, downloads it so you can reconcile. I mean, it is brain dead simple. So I highly, hey, if you want to use Excel, you get a lot more granular detail and control. But if you want just something simple, go buy Quicken. They have it for cloud if you don't worry about, Big Brother being able to see your accounts. But he knows anyhow. So anyhow, like I say, there's a new one, Mint. They're supposed to be super easy and cheap. So there's many tools out there.
There is. Sec, I'll be right back to you, Mike.
I was just going to say, if you have an Apple computer, OpenOffice is an Excel spreadsheet kind of like that that is free.
Yes, and these things, these two programs that are free. I would invest, where you're going to get a lot of stuff from this is if you research what's going to best work for you. Like, well, I don't know what's going to work for me. Try something. You say, I don't really like the functionality of this. It doesn't really work good with me. Try to look for something else. Mike.
You may have mentioned this already. If so, I apologize. But the key to all this that you're going through is that we have to spend less than we make.
Oh, yeah.
It comes down to just that. Yeah. And the only way that's going to happen is through discipline, which is what you mentioned. And the only way we're going to be disciplined enough to do that is by having a budget.
Yeah.
Not, sorry to be Captain Obvious about it, but... And the thing is you can be sitting here thinking $4,000 a month, I don't make that kind of money. So a budget doesn't really help me. It's actually just the opposite. The less money you make, the more important a budget is. You have to make your money go as far as you can. That's not going to happen without discipline, and the discipline isn't going to happen without a plan, in other words, a budget. So it's important for all of us, whether you make $4,000 a month, $1,000 a month, or $6,000 a month, a budget is necessary.
Right. Very, very, I appreciate your comments. Very important. Without a plan. I'm thankful that we have a plan here that, battery's low. I'm thankful we have a plan here that's never going to change. We have a plan we can follow that's never going to change. This same discipline carries out because, really, I like to kind of use this as a gauge of where I'm at. Where am I at spiritually? You're thinking, well, hey, money is one of those things that we need, don't we? We need as a form of exchange to be able to operate. It's kind of like one of those gauges I like to see on my vehicle, only this one's a little more intricate. A lot of times your dummy lights go off in your cars and it's way too late.
Now, talking about keeping track of things, it's just like doing your daily Bible reading. I like to do mine on my phone on YouVersion because then I can actually track what I'm reading. Unless you, again, do it on your computer or do it. If you're reading out of the book, you got to be able to track where you're at so you can actually see what you've accomplished.
And there is a sense of accomplishment in setting these goals. Sorry, no, we'll get back to you. No,
I think it relates. If we remember the words of our Lord Jesus, he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I guess personally, budgeting and kind of getting your finances in order was an eye opener because I think. For most people, when you sit down and you do this for the first time, that cell comes up red. I mean, when you do it for the first time, if you've never really managed your money or knew where you were at, and that's where I was. I spent my entire life off a tip-based income. I mean, that combined without a budget, and I was borrowing money at the end of every month to pay rent, and then I went and picked up the shift and paid them back. And so when I did this, I was in the red. And so I hit that point in my life when I went through this process and kind of got it figured out, it gave me an opportunity to serve. Someone comes up and says, we have a great opportunity for the gospel to go to Colorado, but we need a $500 plane ticket. can you help out? You know, here's $20. Because I know I have it. You know, the congregation's growing in Billings, and the building needs to be doubled in size. Can you help? I can. You know, it is more blessed to give and receive. And this is great, I think, you know, for ourselves individually, but it does spill over in our ability to serve.
Yes, definitely. You know what? Just make a comment here. You get into the part where you're able to give, and guess what? I think it's a lot of fun. It actually is. You get a lot of fulfillment from that. You get to help people. It's a lot of fun.
It's like you mentioned before, a couple weeks ago, you also got to learn to know when to say you can't.
Yeah. Yes. Communication within this is a very important principle, and I'm gonna shut it down here in a second. But the sense of accomplishment that we get, we're able to take off these little chunks, right? We're able to look at it, saying, "Ah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm accomplishing goals." Guess what? If you can't bite it off in little chunks, you're never going to accomplish really what you set out. And what have we really set out to do? Is it to be financially free? It's really to spread the gospel when it boils down to it. So how do we keep that directed? Do we get to a certain point where we're like, yeah, I got this? That's where we start to refine things. We start to pick up more things. You know, I had an opportunity to run with Nikki a longer distance than I ever had a couple weeks ago. But I realized that it wasn't a great run. But you know what it gave me? It gave me something to know, like, hey, this is where the things I need to work on to be able to perform this distance. What about when you transfer those type of things into your budget? Oh, wow. Hey. I get to take these principles and put them into something where you see these short-term accomplishments. And isn't that when something fails sometimes, you didn't do very good, isn't that you look at it as like, okay, this is a chance for me to learn. Instead of get discouraged, like, ah, tired of doing this. Because money will discourage you if you let it. I'm going to end right there, and next week we're going to get into next week I guess we got Benoit. So, and then after that, I'm going to get into the actual getting the part out to where we're able to give. Thank you.